سلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Inshallah, in the next few days we shall be discussing the reality underlying the nights of destiny, Laylatul Qadr. And this is something which is of utmost importance. And that's because every year during the month of Ramadan, especially during the last 10 nights, especially during the nights of the eve of the 19th, 21st and 23rd, and especially on the night of the 23rd, a reality takes place every year. This reality always existed and will always exist until the end. And this reality is called the night of destiny. It's something which happens during the month of Ramadan. And therefore it has a lot of significance, especially practical significance. And therefore we have to know exactly what we are dealing with. So in tonight's session and the next two or maybe 3 days, we'll be discussing this very noble and lofty concept of Laylatul Qadr. Also in these next few days, we shall be recalling the martyrdom anniversary of Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now for tonight's session, since we've only been allocated 25 minutes, we can only progress so far. So with your permission, I'll start and let's see where this will take us. We have to understand that the reality of the Quran is multi-layered. The reality of the Qur'an exists in all realms of existences. And this reality in each realm of existence bears a particular significance. But that which is important is we can't hold the Qur'an of each realm of existence on an equal level. They vary. That which we have before us today is a physical Arabic Quran. But that which is in Allah's knowledge, in the mother of the book, that Quran, that reality is not physical. It's not divided into chapters or verses. There's no language in relation to the mother of the book. So we have to appreciate when we speak of the Quran, which realm of existence are we dealing with? And when we look at the pronouns in the Holy Quran, these pronouns sometimes indicate to us the multi-layered nature, the multi-dimensional nature of the Holy Quran. For example, in relation to the demonstrative pronouns, this or that, when someone is near you and you point to them, you say, this man. Sometimes you may say, in relation to someone who is distant from you, that man. These expressions, this and that, these are demonstrative pronouns. We have them in English grammar, in all languages. Sometimes, in relation to the Qur'an, we see the Qur'an reads, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَامِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ, this Qur'an. Sometimes we read, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, but ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, that book. You see, sometimes it's this Quran, this book. Sometimes it's that book. These demonstrative pronouns suggest to us that the reality of the Quran is multidimensional. That which pertains to the this realm is a physical entity, is a physical manifestation of a higher, immaterial Quran, which pertains to the realm of Allah's attributes or even beyond. But when we speak of that book is relating to higher dimensions of the Holy Quran, higher reality of the Quran. So this Quran, it exists in the mother of the book, which isn't Arabic, isn't divided into verses and chapters. It's indivisible. The Quran refers to that as that book. For example, in relation to Kitabul Mubin, the clear book, that's an immaterial reality. The Quran refers to that Kitabul Mubin, the clear book, as that book. But in relation to this physical book, which pertains to a particular language, which is a very important language, and the fact that it's manifested in Arabic shows that Arabic here also has a lot of significance. Though one can speak a lot about the Arabic nature of the Holy Quran, but I don't want to divert right now from our main discussions, because some people believe that there are words that have come into the Arabic Quran, this physical Arabic Quran, from other languages. That's problematic. We don't believe in that. But that's another discussion. So, even in relation to the suffixed pronouns, here too, these pronouns sometimes are in relation to the physical Arabic Quran, sometimes in relation to an immaterial Quran. And this immaterial Quran descends and manifests into the physical Arabic Quran. So that was the first point. Now, one of the differences between the realm of this and the realm of that, the realm of that which is accessible to us, this Quran, this book, and the difference between this and the realm of that and that book is that in the realm of this, the Quran is readily accessible to everyone, Muslim or non-Muslim. And Allah's attributes of compassion here are dominating the realm of this physical dimension, where the physical Quran is revealed. تبارك الذي بيده الملك. That blessed is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whose hand is the physical realm of existence, mulk. But tabarak, blessed is He, is one of the jamali attributes of Allah, attributes of compassion. And here, out of Allah's mercy, compassion, this book is accessible to everyone. But sometimes Allah's attributes of majesty and Allah's jalali attributes prevent you in reaching the inner dimensions, the higher realities of the Quran. And here, فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. So immaculate is He, free is He, Allah, in whose hand is the malakut of all things, in whose hand is the metaphysical realities of all things. Not physical, but metaphysical realities of all things. So, here, when it comes to the metaphysical realities of anything, here Allah's attributes of Jalal, majesty, authoritative attributes, saying immaculate, free is Allah. Now, with these attributes of majesty, it shows that it's not like the attributes of compassion where everyone is given the opportunity to have access to the Holy Quran. That applies to the physical Quran and to the physical bounties of Allah, such as the sun, the moon, and so on and so forth. However, when it comes to the metaphysical realities in general and the metaphysical realities of the Quran, here Allah bars you from gaining access. You have to deserve it. You have to do something extra in order to attain to those realities. Okay, now, inshallah, here, in one other verse of the Holy Quran, it reads, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا إِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنَا وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. That there's no thing except that its depositories, its storages, if you like, are in Dana, with us, before us, Allah. But this in Dana is very important. Remember the term in Dana for now. I'll come to that in a minute. And we don't send it down, وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ, save in a known measure, in a defined measurement, we will send it down. So any given thing, it's indana. And this indana relates to a particular realm, which we'll call the divine courtyard. So there's nothing physical there. It's not defined or particularized. However, we will send it down in this physical realm or in any realm of creation, be it the physical, semi-immaterial or immaterial realms, in a defined manner, in a known measure. Now, here I want to go through an important analogy. This analogy is extremely important to even understand things like Laylatul Qadr. You have to bear with me, and I want to explain the stages through which the Quran is sent down and compare it to the human being, and the stages through which, let's say, an author, what the stages that the author goes through until the book is written. So these are two different examples in relation to Allah and how the book is revealed, and in relation to the human being, how a book is authored. When you look at the human being and you want to see this me or the I of the human being, the essence of the human being, sometimes you look at the essence, qua essence. You don't look at anything else. That me, that very me of any human being, the first person singular. This me, sometimes when you look at it in and of itself, you say, what is it? You say, I don't know. Because it's not definable. It's the very essence of me. I can't tell you anything about it. Even I myself may not know what the essence of myself is. It doesn't have any definition. I can tell you of its manifestations, but in and of itself, the me, I don't know. But sometimes you look at the me, not in and of itself, but you look at the me qua oneness, that this me is one reality. This human being, you look at its me, its essence, but from the angle of it's oneness, it's one human being here, it's one reality. And any attributes it may have, they're all integrated in that one reality. And then sometimes you look at the me qua manifestations and attributes. You look at the me from the angle of the attributes I have, seeing, hearing, and other attributes of me, the human being. With Allah too, the essence, it has no definition. We don't know what it is. We don't know what pure existence is. In and of itself, we have no idea. But sometimes you look at the essence of Allah, but from the angle of its oneness, Allah's oneness, that we call the realm of Ahadiyya. And all the attributes of Allah are integrated in that oneness, but we're not looking at the attributes. We're looking at the oneness of Allah. We're not looking at the essence in and of itself. We're looking at the essence, but from the angle of its oneness. And sometimes we look at the essence, but from the angle of Allah's attributes. See, these are three different levels here. In relation to the human being, that inner me in and of itself, the me as oneness, the me as attributes. Also with Allah, the essence, we have no access. The essence qua oneness, and then the essence qua attributes of Allah. In relation to Allah, I'm giving the analogy of the human being so that you can all relate it to yourselves. But in relation to Allah, in these three realms, we call it collectively the divine courtyard, the essence of lordship. There are degrees, but in this divine courtyard, nothing is created. It all was, is, and will be, since pre-eternity to post-eternity. In the same way it was, it is now, and it will be. There's no created thing in that realm. All created things are manifestations of the divine courtyard, or manifestations of that last degree of seeing the essence qua attributes of Allah. These are, whatever we see around us in the realm of creation, are manifestations of Allah's attributes, but the attributes are in the divine courtyard. But the physical, semi-immaterial, and immaterial realities of the cosmos, these are all manifestations of Allah's attributes. The attributes are in the divine courtyard, in Arabic, the suq ar-rububiyya, the essence of lordship, and the created realms are outside the divine courtyard. They're created. They're contingent. Okay. Now, when we come to the created manifestations of Allah's attributes, some of them are immaterial. Some of them are semi-immaterial, which means it's immaterial in the sense that there's nothing physical about them. There's nothing physical in the semi-immaterial manifestations, but there are physical properties such as color, size, and shape. Whereas in the immaterial realm, there wasn't even color, size, and shape. And then we have the material realm of existence, the physical realm. So from the divine courtyard and Allah's attributes, what manifests? It manifests first in the immaterial form, then in the semi-immaterial form, and then it manifests in the physical realm of dimension, any given thing. Its depositories are in Dana, with us, in the divine courtyard. But then we will send it down in a known measure in the immaterial, semi-immaterial, and physical realms. We will send it down in a known measure. This known measure pertains to the realms of existence of creation, the physical, semi-immaterial, and immaterial realms. In relation to the human being, that too has like a divine courtyard in relation to the human being's essence, the essence qua oneness, the essence qua attributes, that nothing is created there. Although with the human being, you can't say nothing is created. But the three, though, these three levels are mutually exclusive when you come to the human being. You can't compare it with Allah in this regard. I just want you to appreciate the degrees that when someone wants to author a book, that someone has a me, that someone has a me qua oneness, that someone has a me qua attributes like writer, reader. Now, then they manifest that into their abstract knowledge. They manifest those attributes of the me in an immaterial form, in one's abstract mind. It's abstract knowledge. Then that abstract knowledge is sent down again into semi-immaterial mental concepts and pictures and images. For example, they're imagining the book, how they want to write it, and so on and so forth. And then they bring it onto paper. You see how the degrees, one after the other, are maintained? But you can't skip a link. Before writing the book, it has to go through the thought processes, which is the immaterial realm of creation for the person. Then they have to conceive mentally the concepts of the book. They have to conceive of mental pictures, if you like. And then at the end, they manifest it in the physical realm, writing. It's all one reality. It's all one reality. But this one reality is different on a par with the realm of existence which you're dealing with. Now, this was something extremely important to bear in mind. And I think my time is over for this session. Please go over this analogy and in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, inshallah, in the next session tomorrow, we'll go through this sending down of the Qur'an. And how this interplays with these different realms of existences. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.